The text for our sermon this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2. St. Paul, he sets up three divisions, if you will, between the Gentiles in Ephesus and Jesus, and he includes the Jews in that too. But he points out that they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers, in verse 12. They were strangers to the covenants of promise, and they had no hope without God in the world. And then he addresses these divisions. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Also, we see in our Old Testament, Jeremiah, he rebukes the shepherds of Israel. He rebukes those who were supposed to pastor the Israelites, meaning the teachers of God's word. But Jeremiah says, you are not teaching God's people. You are not bringing them together around the covenant of promise that St. Paul brings up. He says, but you are scattering my people by teaching them false doctrine. And then finally, we see the result of these false teachings. We are like sheep without a shepherd, as Jesus says in Mark chapter 6. And the purpose that Jesus comes to us is to feed us and to take care of us and to make us one people. So we see how all three of these readings gathered and point to Christ providing for us, making us one flock. So God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People often say you really can't know who you are unless you know your past. Maya Angelou wrote, "I have great respect for the past. If you don't know where you've come from, you don't know where you're going." Winston Churchill says, "The farther backward you can look, the farther forward you are likely to see." St. Paul is addressing the past life of the Ephesians in chapter 2. Remember, Ephesians is a letter to a congregation, a sermon meant to be read in the midst of a divine service. These are to people that St. Paul knew. Today he's addressing their past, their history, and what that means for them today when they hear the message, and also their future. He was asking the Ephesians to not forget their past, so that they know where they are now in Christ and where they can stay for the future. This is also for us, so we can remember who we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's not just an exercise in nostalgia, but a preaching of an event, something that actually happened in the past and has shaped and formed our today and will continue to shape us to all eternity, the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see right away, Paul is speaking to two groups. And the two groups of people are the Jews and the Gentiles. This contains the Jews and the Gentiles. This contains all people of the world. This text can be read in the midst of any group of people. Or the Jews and Gentiles, or Paul, he phrases it in our reading. He says, the uncircumcised and the circumcised. He says, Jesus Christ has died for all people. And he says, you, Ephesians, Jew and Gentile, no matter where you come from, you should see yourselves as one, because you all have a common background. You all have a common history. And specifically the Gentiles, St. Paul says you were alienated from God's people. You were aliens. You were strangers to the teaching of the gospel, the promise, the covenant of promise that God gave to His people, and that you were without hope. Paul could also be saying that to you, gathered here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Remember your past. You were at one time alien to God. You were strangers to living by the promise. And you were without hope. Now, Ancestry.com has made a lot of money telling people their past. Usually people want to know this so they can learn from their ancestors. Knowing your history gives you a place to start, a place to work from. Perhaps you won't make the mistakes of those who've gone before you. Those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, we hear. Or maybe you will see that we stand on the accomplishments of our ancestors. We use what our forefathers have taught us to contribute something even greater to society and to the church. That we stand on the efforts, the working of God through people to give us, well, what everybody wants for those who come after them, a better life. The Holy Spirit wants you to know your past. You were aliens from God's people. Now, my family immigrated to Texas from Germany to find religious freedom. They left the very birthplace of Lutheranism because false shepherds, false teachers, were trying to do away with the importance of the Lord's Supper. They said, "It doesn't really matter if we believe Jesus' words, 'This is my body, this is my blood, given for the forgiveness of your sins.'" They were told in the church, "Just get along. It's not that big of a deal, is it?" Well, this was the false teaching that motivated not just my ancestors, but many Christians to come to America, to find freedom, to practice their faith according to Christ's clear words in Scripture. And as they came to the United States, like all immigrants, they had to figure out how to fit in. One thing they had to do was learn the English language. Their German accents, of course, gave them away. Their choppy English was no cover for their heritage. They many times felt like aliens, not knowing the language. They had to learn. This is one aspect of being alien to God's people that St. Paul desires the Ephesians later in chapter 4 to repent of and to know of. In chapter 4, St. Paul says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Certainly in Ephesus, words were exchanged between Jew and Gentile. Not only that, but the Gentiles, they had no way of actually knowing God's word. They didn't have the Scriptures. The Jews were given the Scriptures, the Psalms, the prophets, and Moses. And Paul says, "You Gentiles are aliens because you don't know the language." Remember, you were aliens to God's people. In your past, you spoke a different way. You used different words. St. Paul wants us to reflect on this aspect as well. How about you? How is your language? Is your tongue more at home in a rated R movie? Or how about what you teach according to God's word? Are you like the shepherds that Jeremiah was warning? Do you feed at shepherds other than faithful shepherds that God gives you? Paul is speaking of the past. He says, "Remember who you were." We Christians, we need to guard our tongues. We also need to guard what feeding troughs we find ourselves at as sheep. God gives us teachers and pastors, shepherds to guard and guide us, but how good are they if we as sheep go wandering and feed in foreign, alien places? What false doctrine, or even worse, what gossip do we share? God, save us from forgetting who we are in Christ. Remember, the blood of Jesus was poured out for you to forgive your salty tongue, to forgive you for going and feeding in strange and alien pastures. Jesus died to erase the gossip you find so easy to let out. You now have unencumbered access to God's Word. We can fall on the other side that the Gentiles were facing of not having the Word. Now we have it in such plenty, we go off to strange pastures or we neglect it altogether. Don't forget that in your baptism, you are not an alien anymore. Don't forget that God has given you pastors and teachers that are faithful. Paul then also says they were strangers. The Gentiles were strangers to the covenants of promise. This is one aspect of being God's people that even the Jews forgot, that we live by faith. We don't earn God's love by our good works. And even St. Paul uses Abraham as an example. He says, even before Abraham was circumcised, God chose him. God came to him while he was an unbeliever. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Also, the very Jewish people, when they were in slavery in Egypt, God came to them and rescued them even before he gave them the Ten Commandments. God rescues his people when they are nowhere near him. That's not an excuse to wander. But Jesus, in our gospel, he speaks of the shepherd going out and finding the lost sheep. Our gospel reading, Jesus looked out and saw people. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They had nowhere to feed on the Word of God, so he taught them. They had no one to trust, no one to follow by faith. Certainly they had plenty of laws. The Jews, they knew the stories of God's rescue, yet they had false teachers lead them to believe that they could earn God's favor by obeying the law. However, the Gentiles, they had never even heard the promise of salvation by faith alone. Paul says, "You Gentiles, you never even stood a chance. You were strangers to living by faith." All throughout the Old Testament now, the Gentiles in the Scriptures, they hear the promise of covenant and they came to faith. But in order so that the Ephesians wouldn't give up what Paul had previously taught them, remember, Paul had visited them before. He says, remember what was preached to you. So St. Paul reminds them of their history. He says, look at the mercy of God through all the pages of even the Old Testament. God seeks out that which is strange, and he brings it to himself. The Ephesians, they were aliens, not knowing God's word. By their sins, they spoke a language foreign to God and their baptismal identity. They were strangers to the covenant of promise, of living by faith in God. When we believe we are saved by works of the law, life then becomes a competition. We begin to look down at others. And this is what the Jews were really doing to the Gentiles. The Jews thought they were saved by works of the law, and so they despised the Gentiles, making up man-made laws about division and walls against each other. All of this leading Paul to say, when you are aliens to God, when you are strangers to God's promise of salvation by faith, you will become just like the world. You will lose all hope. Paul warns us in the Ephesians that without faith, we have no hope and are without God in the world. The joy of being a Christian is that we have hope. We have hope because our joy is not built on us. It's not built on one another. It's built on Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. We have a promise that even if the world falls apart all around us, everything will work out in the end because Jesus Christ has defeated death, the devil, and the world. We have hope because Jesus has been raised from the dead. What promise does the world have? It has nothing. But we are taught that Jesus was dead because of your sins, your past, your today, and even your future has been changed. Your past sins forgiven, washed away in baptism. The waters, they killed and drowned your alien nature. God gave you a new life, a new identity. You aren't first and foremost an American. You aren't first and foremost defined by your job. You aren't even defined by your family. Those are important, but remember your true identity. You are a child of God. All those other things can be taken from you. But your identity has hope because Christ gives you a promise that we are the people of the covenant, the promises of God, where God says, I will uphold every aspect of the law and covenant for you. This is why we have hope. It's as if someone has rewritten your past. Someone has gone into your history and edited out all your past sins. And your future too. Your future will be and is already whitewashed. Or, should I say, redwashed in the blood of Jesus. We are a people of hope. Without hope, we would have nothing. Our suffering would be for no reason, but your suffering has a purpose. Your feelings, perhaps, of loneliness. Maybe your friends and even your family have disappointed you. Maybe you even know close friends who've given up the Christian faith. This is no easy cross, my friends. But you need to remember your family in Christ. The family that you will have for all eternity. Even Jesus said his brothers, his sisters, and his mother are those who believe him. Your suffering is building up your faith. Without hope, our suffering, it means nothing except bad news. The unbeliever, they suffer for no reason, but you, people of God, your life is not empty. Your cup has been filled to the brim by Jesus himself. We Christians, every time we suffer, we, St. Paul says, we rejoice in our suffering. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces what St. Paul tells the Ephesians they have today. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Your family is never ashamed of you in Christ Jesus. So Paul, he preached to the Ephesians 3 points. In chapter 2, he said, remember your old family history. You were alien to God's people. You were strangers to living by the covenant of promise. You were without hope. And in this short reading here, St. Paul reverses all of these things. That in Christ Jesus, he shows the great reversal. In verse 14, Paul begins to show this. He says, in Christ, aliens who were foreign, far away because of sin, by the blood of Jesus, you're brought near. He himself is our peace. Strangers in a strange land have no peace, no place to call our own. Christ Jesus calls you his own. No longer strangers divided by God's law. The barrier between us and God and the sins between each other, it's all been destroyed. No longer are we strangers, but brothers and sisters. You are no longer strangers, St. Paul tells them in verse 19. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. the members of the household of God. That the members of this household of God, we can't even see the whole church. Those who have died in the faith, they are gathered with us. In verse 20, St. Paul says, "You're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone." And how does this come to us? How do we know that we are one body? In verse 15, Paul tells you. He says, "Do you not want to be a stranger? Do you not want to be... Do you want to change your alien status?" St. Paul says, he is preaching to you now that Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Jesus didn't come visibly to the Ephesians, but Paul reminds them that Jesus preaches through his shepherds, through his pastors. This is where we are to feed as his sheep. Jesus works through the word being preached. That's how he comes to you. So don't be a stranger to his word. Don't be alien to God's love working through you to love one another and even your enemies. Remember, you have hope in Christ, not just in this world, but for eternity. So may God strengthen you in that hope. By His Holy Spirit, may He further plant you at the feeding trough of His Word and Sacrament. You are a new people. You have a clean history. Your future already covered by the blood of Jesus. Don't forget, Jesus Christ crucified and raised, a historical fact that guides your future. The author to Hebrews says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.